Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Nicole Hannah-Jones is going to Howard University. The New York Times reporter and creator of the 1619 Project will be the new Knight Chair in Race and Reporting at the revered historically black college. Her decision comes after her alma mater, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, denied her tenure, prompting an outcry that the decision was based on her race and gender. Nicole Hannah-Jones joins us now. Welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And congratulations on your new position at Howard University. What's the message you're sending with your decision to go to Howard after the very public tenure controversy at UNC?
So I, of course, love the University of North Carolina. I was very excited to return back to my alma mater, the place that really launched my journalism career, and to teach there. But I was denied initially the vote on tenure by the Board of Trustees, which are politically appointed by the Republican legislature. And it became a very kind of ugly and public battle where political appointees were not voting on my credentials, but because of political reasons, they didn't like the nature of my work. And I just decided, you know, at the age of 45, having worked myself through the ranks of my profession, having achieved a very high level of success in my profession, that I was just unwilling to keep fighting that battle, that I really wanted to take my talents and the resources I could bring and bring them to an institution that was actually built for Black uplift and Black excellence, that wasn't built in opposition to the work that I want to do and me as a human being.
Since the 1980s, nobody had ever been denied tenure at UNC in the position you were offered. You talked about this political process. Did anyone at the university tell you why they didn't offer you tenure?
No, and this was also part of my decision making. You know, I understand that the political situation around the University of North Carolina has not been good for about a decade now. And it's one thing when political appointees interfere in the process, but it would have been something else had the leadership of the university, namely the chancellor and the provost, spoke out publicly and demanded that I be treated like every other Knight Chair, all of them who were white before me. And that didn't happen. And not only did they not publicly speak up, but privately, they were not transparent with me about why I didn't have my tenure package voted on in November when it was supposed to have been voted on the first time, or in January. And to this day, no one in leadership at the university has explained to me what happened and why I was treated differently than everyone else who had come before me.
You talked about you're an alum of UNC. You talked about how much you love it there. You love the Tar Heels. This lack of transparency, obviously, was difficult. How did it feel to go through that process?
You know, it was humiliating. I didn't speak out about what happened to me. I didn't want everyone to know that I was the first Knight Chair in the history of that position to be denied tenure. So it was humiliating personally, professionally, to be treated that way by your alma mater, the same university that had just a few months earlier inducted me into its Media and Journalism Hall of Fame. It was painful because I've tried to give back to that university as much as possible. And I really just saw my decision to go there as giving back further. And it was enraging because, you know, I've spent my career writing about inequality, about racial discrimination, about how Black Americans are often not treated fairly by American institutions, and then to become kind of so blatantly subjected to that same treatment was enraging.
I want to read something you wrote in a statement published on the NAACP Legal Defense Fund's website. You write, "Since the second grade, when I began being bused into white schools, I've been fighting against people who did not think a Black girl like me belonged. People who tried to control what I did, how I spoke, how I looked, and the work I produced," end quote. To your mind, simply put, was your experience at Chapel Hill much different than that?
No, it was this experience that made me decide I just wasn't going to subject myself to people like that having any more decisions about my career or my life. And I've been subjected to that my entire life. And I think a lot of times Black Americans feel that we have to go into elite white institutions to prove our worthiness, that if we can succeed there, that becomes a symbol that we are smart enough and good enough and that we've worked hard enough. And I've certainly done that myself. But I think we have to eventually refuse to keep doing that, to keep letting someone else determine, another community and other institutions outside of ourselves determine our worthiness. And I'm refusing to do that any longer.
Let me ask you for a moment, Nicole, about the backlash you received after publishing the 1619 Project, which, of course, you did for the New York Times. That looked at the role of slavery and how that played in building American capitalism and democracy. And while it was widely acclaimed, some scholars argued that you injected ideology into the history. Were you surprised by that kind of pushback?
No, I wasn't surprised. The entire reason that the 1619 Project had to exist in the first place is because we have not wanted to deal with this as a society. And frankly, the field of history has tended to downplay the role of slavery and racism in America and its institutions. You know, for the last 3 to 4 decades, more progressive white scholars and large numbers of Black scholars have been pushing back against what was another ideological version of history that really sought to bolster this idea of American exceptionalism. So when you create a project that is mainstream public history that goes viral the way the 1619 Project did, of course you expect that there is going to be pushback to that. He who controls the narrative controls the actions and the policies that get set. And we are seeing a strong pushback from people who would prefer the status quo, which is that we deny how inequality is structured into our society. And if you deny that, then you don't pass policies to fix it.
Nicole Hannah-Jones at Howard University, you will be starting a Center for Journalism and Democracy. Tell us what your vision there is moving forward.
Absolutely. I feel that we are in a very dangerous moment in our democracy where we're seeing efforts to really erode our free speech, where we're seeing efforts to erode our voting protections. Kind of the most fundamental right you have in a democracy is the right to vote. But yet, I don't think our political reporting is really rising to the moment. Too many of our political reporters, I think, believe because of their experiences as part of the majority in this country that our democracy will hold, that our institutions will self-correct, and that we should just cover politics as kind of a both sides narrative or horse race. But that's not what's happening. And we are in a very dangerous period if the media does not act as the firewall for our democracy.
Well, to wrap up here, Nicole Hannah-Jones, after your experience at UNC, you wrote, quote, "The burden of working for racial justice is laid on the very people bearing the brunt of the injustice and not the powerful people who maintain it. I say to you, I refuse." What is the lesson from your experience for the Board of Trustees at UNC and for students there and everywhere?
Thank you for asking that. Walking away from the University of North Carolina was a very difficult decision. I understand what it would mean for someone like myself to be on campus for students and for faculty and for the very necessary work that the university has to do. But I also think that it is fundamentally unfair that the people who have suffered the injustice are continuously asked to remain in institutions that they will have to fight for basic fair treatment, and that we should be charged with healing and fixing the problems that people in power have created. I wanted to send the message that that obligation lies with the Board of Trustees, with the university's leadership, and with the state legislature that has such a powerful role in determining the future of that university. It is time for the people who have power to take responsibility for the structures that they uphold. And if there's going to be true healing, it cannot be based on the sacrifice of those who have already sacrificed so much.
Nicole Hannah-Jones is the new Knight Chair in Race and Reporting at Howard University and a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for The New York Times Magazine. Thank you very much.
Thank you.